The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. My first text is from a December issue of the New York Times. This is actually a pretext. The dateline is Kara Whidden, Afghanistan. The Afghan boy crouched near a wall in this remote village. His eyes were coated by an opaque yellow sheath. Sergeant Nick Graham, an American Army medic, approached. The villagers crowded around. They said the boy's name was Hayatulla. He was 10 years old and developed the eye disease 6 years ago. "Can you help him?" a man asked. Sergeant Graham examined the boy. He was blind. There was nothing the medic could do. Another man turned the corner from the alley, leading a girl, Bharat Bibi, by the arm. She was 7 years old. She turned her ruined eyes toward the afternoon sun without blinking. They were more heavily coated than Hayatulla's. Sergeant Graham sighed. "We could use an entire hospital here," he said. Now, why is Hayatulla blind and Bharat Bibi cannot see the sun in the sky? There are at least two reasons. One is a general reason. God created everything good, but sin has totally corrupted the entire creation. Therefore, we have blindness, heart disease, cancer, arthritis, terrible, terrible accidents, death, what have you. But there is a second reason why Hayatulla and Bharat Bibi cannot see the sun in the sky. Reading on from the pretext, the Afghan boy crouched near a wall in this remote village where the Taliban strength has prevented the government from providing services. Continued on page A15, one villager, Ramatulla, 35 years old, said the Taliban were here because the Afghan government was weak and that the villagers were afraid. Whenever the military or the government distributed aid, he said, including blankets, children's notebooks, or winter clothes, the Taliban entered the village, collected the aid, and set it on fire. Ramatulla said, "We would like to support the coalition forces, but if we do that, the Taliban will come at night and cut off our heads." Which leads me to the second text, the real text, the authoritative text from 1 John chapter 2. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The person who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. The reason why Hayatulla and Bharat Bibi cannot see the sun in the sky is because the light from above is not in the heart of the Taliban. Well, all that said, this text is still at a nice, safe distance from you and me. And when an authoritative text is at a safe distance from you, from me, the soul is not saved. When the text is kept at a safe distance, the light from above is still above and has not come down from above to get into my heart, to get into your heart. These texts should puzzle us. They should trouble us. And it is wrong to skim over the puzzles and the troubles that a text raises and skim as fast as we can to some word of comfort. Now, in this text, there are only two alternatives: love and hate. The love, of course, is the selfless love, the untitled love that we have received from the true light come into the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, and which we are to obsessively share with one another. And if we're not doing that, then the only alternative that I see, according to verse 9, is that we are not living in love, but in hate. No third option is given. So, think about it. If someone in this fellowship has a problem, a bump in campus life, do we ever think, well, he deserves it? Is there anyone on this campus, anyone in our fellowship, that you would not go out of your way to help? Do you and I have some racial attitudes deep in our hearts that we are not struggling against with prayer and discipline? Most of you are men. What is the attitude of the men on this campus toward women? Is it to show in every way possible, beginning with our attitudes, the respect that God would have us show to women? Or are our attitudes sometimes ones which reflect the darkness more than the light, attitudes which we would be ashamed of in the judgment before God? And sometimes are our words and our actions toward women the kind of things that off campus out there in the world would get you a severe reprimand from your employer and maybe even in termination or a suit? And how do we, to use another example, and these are all examples that I hear about, I'm not making these up, how do we deal with our staff? Do we, who are faculty and students, deal with them as kind of lackeys who are there to take care of our entitled needs? Do we forget that God looks at every person on this campus, whatever that person's position and calling, as just as important and dear to his heart as you are or I am? See, now the text, the real text, is starting to trouble, I hope. And this text is not about the Taliban. When it says that the person who claims to be in the light but hates his brother, when it says brother, sister, it's talking about us in this fellowship right here, right now. You and me, the Concordia Seminary community. Now the light is coming down. It's no longer locked above. It's in the unsafe territory of my heart, and it is exposing the darkness. And that's what it's supposed to do. And when the light comes down from above and exposes the darkness, then it also scatters the darkness. And this is the ultimate intent why God has given us these texts, that the epiphany of light will come into my heart and into yours as well. The context is always important. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And if anyone should sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ is the true epiphany light that has come down from above. Oh, the height of Jesus' love higher than the heavens above, deeper than the depths of sea, lasting as eternity. Love that found me, love that found you, wondrous thought, found us when we sought him not. One of the harder lessons that we have to learn is to prepare and preach sermons that are scriptural and textual as well. A sermon that is scriptural, and every sermon should be scriptural, will let the hearer know such things as we are sinners, Jesus died for our sins, Jesus rose again, and some other things too. The summation of the whole biblical message. But if a sermon is only scriptural and not also textual, then we are not taking for ourselves and we are not presenting to our hearers the whole counsel of God. A scriptural sermon can easily keep the truth at a safe distance. And you remember what I said earlier, that when a text is at a safe distance, then our soul is not safe. And that's why a textual sermon does puzzle, does trouble us, and then ultimately will lead us to an appreciation of the comfort that God gives us in these texts. Now, the first text that I use, as I said, the pretext for the sermon, this is troubling. Barabbas and Hiatula cannot see the sun in the sky because the light from above has not gotten down into the heart of the Taliban. But even more, this text is to trouble us and then give us a humble receptivity for the light that comes down from above. The light comes down from above. Jesus Christ makes his epiphany in the lively preaching of his word, in the reading of the scriptures and the study of the scriptures and in meditation on the scriptures. The light from above comes down to trouble, but ultimately by the Spirit to comfort. The great window in this chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus, the lower right-hand panel, the seal of Concordia Seminary, light from above. And the text says that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. In the word preached, in the word studied, and in a few minutes, in the gospel, with the bread and wine, the body and the blood. The text will be fulfilled as so many of us approach and kneel under the window, and the light will be shining and the darkness passing away in my heart and in yours. May we always leave the table and the chapel with the comfort that God intends in these texts. But may you and I never leave the table or the chapel with a sense of complacency. Amen.